The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, my name is
Scott.
Hey, yo.
Is that his younger brother? It's gotta be
Jeff.
The cream rise to the top. Oh, yeah.
And you're listening to
all of the great action figures from our good friends at Hasbro.
The Fully Posable.
Have your own WrestleMania with all your favorite figures.
Wrestling figure.
He sold separately from LJN.
Podcast.
And we are the Mount Rushmore of professional wrestling.
Hey, welcome to episode 340, take two, of the Fully Posable Wrestling Figure Podcast. My name is Jeff, and sitting alongside next to me is my real-life brother, not storyline brother, Scott. Scott, say hello.
Hello.
And Scott, joining us this week is the man, the myth, the legend, the man with so many stories of walking up. You're still posing over there. You are about to pose.
Chad's Hoganing.
Is Chad Horror Movie Barbecue. Chad, what's going on, man?
Gentlemen, if I told you that it wasn't a pleasure to be here, I'd be lying. I am having a great time already, and we've already got some good stories to talk about later.
Yes. You mean how we were already like 10 minutes into the first episode or first
quote at least 10.
Oh, God. That's the story for the end of the show. Anyways.
Yes, it is.
Chad, how have you been, man?
I'm doing good. I'm in a good place right now, and I am. Well, let me just get this out of the way. To those who know what's going on, and to those who have been supportive, thank you.
We're in your corner, dude.
Thank you, brothers. And you know, it's been overwhelming, and I'm getting there. So good. Thank you.
Good. Well, hopefully the show will take your mind off of things.
Oh, and gosh, everything. Yes.
At least for an hour.
Especially because I get to do it all over again.
You can retell stories. It'll be great.
By the way, there's a Sting story about to come up. Spoiler alert. Chad, do you have any plugs, by the way, you want to get out of the way?
I'm not really working on anything right now at the time being, but I'm going to try and pick back up like around the holidays, so like September. HorrorMovieBarbecue.com, but mainly Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. Follow me there.
If you want to laugh every single day, follow this man.
Especially on Facebook.
Especially on Facebook.
And you know what's funny is I'm told quite often that I'm not that funny in real life, so that means a lot. So thank you.
Well, you're hilarious on Facebook. We'll find out about real life tonight.
Exactly. Yes. This is the litmus test.
Yes.
Everybody knows where to get our shirts. Everybody knows where to follow us. Everybody knows where to find our shows. Just do a Google search. You'll find it all right there. And if you want to send us any audio questions, or anything else at all, send it on over to fullyposablewfp@gmail.com. All right, Chad, take two on the Sting story. You just met Sting recently.
I did. And this was a situation where, to set it up, 6 years ago, I met Sting and I didn't get the best photo op. And my friend knew that I wanted a upgraded photo. So he was like, I will pay for your photo if you get me my AEW Chase figure signed. And I'm like, all right, well, that's fine. So I have a WCW Worldwide Sting Fatal Encounter shirt. It's pink. And I also have some pink and black Zubats. And I'm like, this is the only time I'm going to be able to make this look happen in public. And it's going to be acceptable. And it's summer. So why the heck not? So I go to the signing. I walk up and Sting just looks at me and says, look like you walked right out of the 80s. You've got everything. He's like, all you're missing is a fanny pack. And I was like, well, where were you an hour ago? I could have at least brought it. So we get our photo and Sting was laughing and it was really good to see him, you know, have fun. And, you know, this was kind of towards the end of the signing. It was probably only like 30 minutes to go before it was over. So, but he still had a lot of that energy. And, you know, I mean, Sting is always a joy to meet and he's always gracious to his fans and he's just one of the best. And I actually got him to stand for my photo because, like I said, my original photo was taken at an indie show in Maryland, and he was sitting down on a stool and I'm sitting next to him. So it looks like father and son. And it's just like, so we get our photo and I'm like, Sting, how do we look? He's like two guys from the '80s. I'm like, mission accomplished. All right.
Nice. That's,
and then I slip up and I say, God bless you, Steve. And I'm like, I'm sorry. I meant Sting. I'm so sorry. He's like, it's okay. It's okay. God bless you too, man. And he shook my hand and I was out. It was great. And, it's definitely one to remember.
Let's not start calling wrestlers by their,
no,
like, don't call Shawn Michaels Michael Hickenbottom. Let's not do that. Let's not.
We will. We will. Shawn's my favorite of all time. I
still love when you met Shawn Michaels in New York, Chad. It was so funny because you had a wig on, you had the Rockers t-shirt, and again, Zubas, and you walk up to him, and did he have a reaction to that?
You know, that signing was like a conveyor belt situation where you hand your item to their agents, who I'm not going to mention because I'm not a fan of them, but, and then they give it to them. You sit down, you get the photo, but Sean kind of looked at me and he's like, all right, yeah, that's actually as close as you're going to get. Not bad. But it was very brief interaction, which, you know, I've said it a thousand times. Yes, they're there to get money, but they're getting money from us.
Exactly.
Don't rush us. I don't care how big the name is. And this is an issue I have taken with Fitterman, with Undertaker and Flair and all the new rules. Yes, you're going to get your money, but we're the ones that are going to walk away and remember this. We are going to be the ones that are going to be talking about it in 5 years. Fitterman, he's not going to remember a certain signing. He's not, Undertaker's not going to remember meeting me, but we're going to remember meeting them.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know,
right.
Give us something like that. I seek those moments. It's more, if I go to a signing, I want it to be special, which is why I always get into the spirit of these things. And, you know, I want to be able to remember it and look back, you know, and stuff like this. So, you know.
Yeah. I remember when we met HBK in 2011 at WrestleMania 27 Access. And in 2011, we paid $75 for his signature. He was a VIP. And in 2011, $75 was kind of on the higher side of wrestler signature prices. And I kind of felt like you did, like it was a conveyor belt situation. Like he had like 8 or 9 handlers. You know, you've got the person kind of wrangling you in a pen, and then you got this person that's going to take the item, this person that writes down what's going to be on it. And, you know, it's just a big kind of conveyor belt situation. And by the time you finally get to meet him, you know, like you, he's one of my favorites of all time. You kind of want to have a moment with them, but I really felt for that $75. It was very rushed, you know, and I didn't really enjoy that experience. It was great meeting HBK, got to shake his hand, got a picture with him, got the Jax Classic Superstars with all the titles in it. I got that signed. So that was great. But it was that moment that I felt was lacking with HBK that, you know, the $75, a majority of it was getting to meet him and have a moment. And I felt that that part was left out. And to this day, I'm like, man, that could have been so much more. So felt a little gypped. You know what I mean?
Totally get it. I met the first two times I met Sean were at car shows down in Maryland in the same year. He did one in Baltimore and then he did one in DC. And this was 2003. So all you had to do was pay admission. And that was a situation. The second time I met him in December that year was the second time I met him, and his line would slow down. So you could actually go up and talk to him and take like extra photos. So I have like, you know, candid photos of him just making goofy faces, and, you know, it was great. And
that's awesome.
That experience is gone. Like with Fitterman, with Fan Expo, with conventions, it's a real shame. Like, especially if you're a new fan and you're getting into it and like, this is your first experience. I feel for anyone who's getting into it. Like it has to suck because you don't get that wholesome experience unless like you go to, you know, like a fan fest, like The Gathering or like the 80s wrestling con or just like something smaller.
So prices have gone up and the experiences have gone down in terms of what you're getting out of it. And it just kind of sucks, you know, because you're paying a lot more money now than you were back then.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. It's funny. I went to Niagara Falls Comic Con in 2019 because Taker was there. And that was actually the day after that Goldberg match. I guess he flew from Saudi right over to Niagara Falls. And even like the night before, everyone was like, there's no way he's coming. Like, there's no way he's coming. And then when we get there, everyone's like, well, they're just going to announce that he's canceled. And you know, I only got a photo op, and it was only like $100 after the conversion. That's another reason I actually did it, because I'm cheap. But I was like, I walk up to Undertaker, shake his hand. Hey, nice to meet you. Could we just do a face off photo? And he's like, he just stares at me and says, whatever you want, brother. And I'm like, I think I'm like going to be tough. And I'm looking at him. Oh, no. Oh, this is not going to be so. If you see the photo, the fear in my face is real, because he's a nice guy and he was having a lot of fun with fans, even for that brief moment. But he is very scary.
Yeah, he looks intimidating. But I will say, my favorite picture of you with a wrestler, hands down, is you with One Man Gang.
Yes, I was hoping you would say that.
That's my absolute hands down favorite. I love that photo of you guys.
I was so excited for that. And I had said, it started with a joke with a couple of friends, because I had a Punisher shirt years ago and I wore it to a wrestling convention. And they're like, you know, if One Man Gang shows up, you got to come as the One Chad Gang. And I'm like, okay. So that was 2010, and Gang would go on and off with signing. So he would like, because of, you know, how big he is and how, you know, how hard it is for him to move around, you wouldn't see him pop up. And then one day, you know, he popped up and I was like, I have to keep my promise now. I was like, oh no. So I made the vest, and that was, I don't think I had ever done anything like that before, but I was like, I'm going to make the most of it.
You nailed it, dude.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it. That is a top three signing for me of all time. And he was just so grateful and appreciative. He loved it. He gave me a little, there's a photo of us laughing, and it just, what an experience, man. I don't have enough nice things to say about it. It was just very overwhelmingly fun, you know.
That's,
and I'm
awesome.
So happy to get it, because I always loved Gang. I always loved Akeem. You know, Akeem doesn't hold up now, but that's, you know, when we were kids.
When we were kids, yes.
Yeah.
Definitely. I can't wait to see you, because are you trying to one-up yourself at the signings? Like, you've kind of set a trend now where you're having, like, the time of your life. You're dressing up to the hilt. Like, you're getting the most out of these experiences. Yes. We talked about prices going up, but you're doing everything you can to get the most out of it. So are you trying to, like, one-up yourself? Like, you're kind of setting a high bar here with your experiences.
Okay, so kind of, because, you know, I think I said it, I can't remember if I said it before or after the first or second time we've been recording, but I want that experience, yes, because if I'm paying a lot of money, I should be able to, you know, have a memory.
Totally.
There is one costume, I don't know if I should reveal this. There was one costume that I had that I was so close on doing. And I was just like, this isn't really going to work. I was going to do nails for WrestleMania Access.
Oh.
And I realized walking around in a prison jumpsuit with a nightstick, probably not the best idea, especially when there's kids around and, yeah, you know, and families. Yes. And it's just like, okay. I also considered doing it for the Undertaker photo. So that's yes. And I was just like, maybe we'll save that for like when Kevin finally does, if that's a very big if.
Well, know, but if he ever does a signing, I know a lot of people that are waiting for him because they have their carded Hasbro, or his carded Hasbro, I should say, that they want that signed so bad.
There's one floating around, and I know that the asking price is, people are kind of scoffing at the asking price, and I get it. I think it's like well over like $800 or something. But at the same time, I also kind of get the seller's price, because Nails hasn't done a public appearance or signing since I think 2000, 2001. And people have tried. I have been in contact with people who have attempted and have reached out to Kevin, and they're just like, A, he makes too much money at his trailer business. B, he's so far removed from wrestling that he just doesn't think people will care. And he's also going to think that he's a joke. And I get it. You know, I'm the biggest Nails fan, but I get it. I get that mindset. The third thing is he asked too much money, and a promoter off the record once said, the people that are requesting it probably won't show up at this point unless like they're being serious with like Hasbro's, and he wouldn't be like a $20 signature. He would be like a $40 or $50, you know, so we could justify it. And there was one last tidbit. This promoter had said he had talked to John Nord, and he said John Nord said he was the weirdest guy he's ever met. And for John Nord to say that, probably not the best endorsement, let's be honest. There's Nord's out there too. I think that was a gimmick.
So needless to say, if like WrestleCon got Nails, that would be a huge, huge get for them.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. 100%.
Yeah.
100%.
When there's not a lot of Nails figures, right? So then you're going to watch, say he does a signing, you're going to see those Hasbro prices start to escalate even more, I would think, ahead of the signing.
And yes, absolutely. Because people are going to want those. I know like Brian Myers, that has been a grail for him for ages. I know that I know a couple private Hasbro collectors that are just, they're just, I probably shouldn't mention this, but I do know one guy attempted to fly out and try and get it signed.
Oh, wow.
Kevin wouldn't budge. He just, he saw the figure and he's like,
Oh, wow. Really? Yeah. Uh-huh. Man.
So it's going to take a lot of convincing.
But sometimes it's not about the wrestler, right? He needs to make it about the fans. Like, it's not about what you want to do, but I'm sure he sees the demand. And he's got to know that people out there are willing to pay his price, not just the promoter, but when he shows up, the fans are willing to pay that price.
You know, and yes, absolutely. At the same time, I also kind of get like when Nails is discussed, he's not always discussed in the most positive manner because Kevin was not, he wasn't Kurt Angle. He wasn't Daniel Bryan. He wasn't Undertaker at that time either. He was
perfect for the era though.
He was, and he was so scary and so frightening. He was like a horror movie villain.
Yeah.
I hope one day he does. He does come out to do it. And I hope that he realizes it's not a joke to everybody. You know, he's always going to have that Vince notoriety. But gosh, yeah, I think he's one of the last major holdouts that people want. I can't think of anyone in that Hasbro era that's really gone missing and just refused to really sign anything.
Rick Martel.
Martel was doing a lot of conventions before he retired, though.
Oh, he was doing a lot back in like 2001, 2, 3, 4, and 5.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then he just, it was like almost like he just disappeared. And he was supposed to do WrestleCon in Orlando for WrestleMania 33.
Mm, was he?
He was. And he backed out at the last second because I was going to finally be able to get my Strikeforce 2-pack signed. I was so excited. I was going to have Tito's autograph and I was going to have Rick's autograph right there. I couldn't wait. And Rick backed out at the very last second.
He actually got announced for Niagara Falls Comic Con that it was either 2000. It was probably, like around that time. So it was like 2015, 16, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's Canada. So he wouldn't have to leave the country. And he still like backed out like maybe a week before. And he's just like,
I wonder why.
He's so removed from it. It's like Nails. He's just moved on. He's doing his real estate, but he did a private signing either earlier this year or later last year. I think if the right people get to these wrestlers, like a Nails, like a Martel, you know, those Martel's on my list as well.
Mm-hmm.
But if the right people, the right fans got to them and just made them realize, yes, we do appreciate you. We do think the world of you. I think that could change it. I think all it takes is one legit fan and that could probably do it, you know?
Well, we hope so. But I will say two things. First, Mattel needs to put out a Nails figure with a soft goods prison suit.
Uh-huh.
And when Nails finally does show up to do one of these signings, he needs to be wearing his prison suit as well.
Yes.
Okay.
I
wait.
Would freak out.
Hold on.
Oh, do we have notes from Steve Ozer here?
Steve Ozer just chimed in.
Oh.
He said, suck it, you dorks.
It says GFY. I'm allowed to curse on here, right?
Hey, just go ahead and go stick with the GFY.
GFY, yeah. LOL, it's never going to happen.
Yeah.
Although we're talking about Steve Hoger, I still say did the best Nails figure I've ever seen. He gifted me an amazing Nails when I met up with him in New Jersey back in April. And he hands me a box and he's like, yeah, I wanted to give this to you. And I open it. It's at night, so I can't really see that well. But I see the orange, and I just kind of stop and look at it. And I wish I would have had a video of this reaction, because I was just like, holy shit. Sorry. Holy cow. Like, this is just so amazing. And I don't – to me, they would have to really hit it out of the park to top what Steve Hoker did. And I if that's the only figure – I ever get, I'm fine with that.
How great is Steve Hoker?
The greatest.
I was just going to say, yeah, he's amazing. One of the most selfless people I've ever had the pleasure of meeting, and I haven't met him in person yet, but I can't wait to meet him and just give him a huge hug and thank him for everything that he's done. He's so amazing, and I can't say enough good things about Steve.
We could do a podcast on just Steve compliments. That'll be a bonus show eventually.
That'll become one of our segments on the show. It'll just be like Steve compliments.
I like it. Let's do that.
Well, you guys were just talking about Mattel. And speaking of Mattel, we'll just go right into the news. They did show off a little bit more, just very small tidbits. And one of those little tidbits was Jerry the King Lawler retro. So that was one of the last little tidbits from San Diego Comic-Con. We covered it all last week. We marked out huge.
Do you think? You think we gave him enough props? I'm a little embarrassed.
I are you really?
Little bit. I feel like gushed quite a bit about Mattel.
That's why I left it in. I wanted you to be embarrassed.
But you know what? That's okay, because they deserved all of it. Like, the stuff that they gave us at this year's Comic-Con was just, it blew my mind. Absolutely. The Mega Powers. It's so beautiful.
How long have we been asking for a Mega Powers 2-pack? Yes. And I always expected it that we would get a battle pack.
Yes, exactly.
I never would have, because we got the Mega Bucks battle pack ages ago.
Yep.
And, but I was not expecting this. And this is honestly, out of all the announcements, and look, I could just parrot everything you guys said, but it's all true. This is one of the best years in terms of reveals, exclusives, interaction. This was the one that excited me the most. And it was the most shocking to me.
And I always look at the exclusive as kind of like the cherry on top of the showing. Hogan and Zeus as the cherry on top of this year. I mean, and by the way, Chad, congrats on getting your Hogan and Zeus.
Thank you.
I was so happy you nailed it, dude. That just like made my day. I was so happy when you said that you had gotten it, because I knew it.
Thank you.
Basically, out of everybody that I know, you were the one that this meant the most to, because I know you love No Holds Barred like nobody else. So when you said that you got it, dude, I was just so happy for you.
And I think we were going back and forth in a text or something. I was actually at the doctor's office in the waiting room, and I had to step outside a couple times because they didn't have good reception. So I just kept having to go outside, and I was like, come on, come on, come on. So it was just like, shoot. Yeah. I am counting down the days. I mean, between that, the HBK Ultimate that's coming next week.
Oh, the Amazon. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. And the new Gen Ring. I mean, golly. I mean, this is trouble. If you're an Ultimate collector, which I am now. I shunned Ultimates at the beginning because I was just like, they're not going to be in scale. They're expensive. Blah, 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 blah. And now I can't get enough of them.
They're some of the best figures going out today.
Oh, totally.
We'll see how those AEW Supreme figures are. But as of today, July 28th, the best figures out there are the Ultimates.
Hands down. And man, it's almost like Mattel knows who to target that's actually holding the wallet that has a little bit of money in it, because they are coming after us.
Oh, yeah.
And they are targeting our era specifically with all of the Hogans and Macho Mans and, like, you name it. They're coming for us, dude. They're taking our money. But you know what? I like the abuse.
Yes.
I will happily hand over my money to Mattel. They are absolutely killing it right now.
Absolutely. Amazing.
Yeah,
it's overwhelming.
Yeah, it really is. No, that's a perfect word for it. After this whole experience of Comic-Con, the exclusive and that whole experience, just, yeah, overwhelming is the perfect word.
It was very, like, euphoric, too. And people are going to think, oh, really? And I was like, yes, because if you were watching those reveals as they were happening, it was incredible, especially when they announced Jeff Jarrett.
Mm-hmm.
Because he has been a major holdout. And
yeah,
I never understood the reasoning. It kind of got in the back of my head that it could possibly be possible, but especially after Zombie Sailor, but the amount of stuff that they're just pounding out is just incredible.
Can you imagine being able to walk into Access with a ticket for a Jeff Jarrett autograph and holding his Ultimate figure? I mean,
no.
Who would have had that on their 2022 checklist?
Exactly.
Yeah, no, it's an incredible time to be a collector right now. I mean, like, Mattel is just completely hitting us.
Mm. They can hit me anytime.
Yes, I will take it. I will take it.
Yes,
Jeff
Danny.
Called him daddy last week.
I did.
Okay, maybe I did that.
So there was a Q&A between Ringside and Steve and Bill at San Diego Comic-Con. So just kind of going over. So they kind of touched on re-releases. For example, the Rey Mysterio, the Bam Bam Bigelow. Steve did talk about the Greatest Hits line. He says they are going to be tapping into that. So newer collectors can get older figures. They will be revisiting sought after older figures.
We've been calling for this. We want those Legends figure that we missed out on, so we don't have to go pay $300 for a model Rick Martel or, mm-hmm. you know, a set of Demolition $300. Maybe we can start getting those. And I know you're going to bring out your Steve Ozer papers, but maybe those are names that are going to come back. You know, if they can get them under a deal, I'm okay with seeing those figures all over again, because I missed out the first time around.
I just saw the paper and it said Demolition Akeem Martel GFY. Wow, he knows us, huh? Wow.
Steve's on it, man.
He's listening. He's tapped our Zoom call.
Maybe that's why we didn't record, because he was recording it.
Yeah. Oh, wait. Jeff, you idiot. You forgot to hit record. God damn you. God damn you. How'd you know?
You know, if I could just hop in on the re-releases, I'm very stubborn, and I was a holdout of Classic Superstars. So when the Legends first started, I was like, no, the not as good as Classic Superstars. No, I'm not going to buy that. Oh, that? No. Demolition was better by Jax. So it took me a very long time to really get into the Elite game. And now that we're seeing all these re-releases with the better elbows, with, you know, with a much easier access, I love it, because, you know, like you said, someone might just be getting into it now. Mm-hmm. And if you want that Jake Roberts circa 96, you're kind of SOL until now.
Yeah.
You know?
Or that Bigelow from the original Elite Legends. They're basically re-releasing it with the Greatest Hits. Same with that Rey Mysterio, Day of the Dead.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to be part of the Greatest Hits as well. So they're starting to tap into those figures that they see the market on eBay. Mm-hmm. And they're like, let's crush that right now.
Let's get the money for us instead of, you know... I get both sides of the argument. I get both sides of the, it drives my figure down in value. Okay, I understand that. But then you have the other buyers that are like, okay, I don't have to pay $150 for a complete smash.
Or, yes.
You know, I said, Akeem. You know, so I think it's a great idea. I get both sides, but I'm also on the side of,
And I hate to kind of mention this, but that's part of the me generation. That's driving my figure down. Well, okay, why are you thinking of just your figure? What about all the collectors that didn't have a shot of getting that figure? What if there was distribution issues in their area? Uh-huh. Now they've got another chance to get it. I'm sorry. Yeah. it's that me mentality, and that I'm kind of over it, you know, but anyways.
Okay. But what are the odds that Mattel plays the hero here and gives us that King Harley race again?
Good. Oh. Good.
Well, I mean, I know that, if he's available, blah, 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 but that is the unicorn, as far as I'm concerned, in the entire Mattel line. Mm-hmm. I mean, literally one that I never even saw. I never even saw one of that series. So if they could redo the Harley race, please, that would be the one name I'd want back too. If I was only given one name, that's the one.
I have that figure, and I hope they do. I want people to have a shot at it. We've been clamoring for it since we couldn't find it at Walmart back in 17 or 18?
Yeah.
So good. Let them.
Please bring it back.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. All right, moving along, Ultimate Editions. They talked about new Ultimate articulation with new hip joints. So it's basically like dislocating a hip. That's a hell of an articulation right there.
I'm almost at that age to start doing that.
They asked about, has articulation been maxed out? Bill basically said they are looking at competitors to see, you know, they are trying to go after everybody's buck. You know, there's so many competitors out there right now, and they want to try to see what they can do to improve. So basically they're looking at competitors, see what else they can do to improve. And if it's more articulation, they'll do what they can.
I always thought it was funny, Jeff, that when we first started the show in 2016, and I think I mentioned this a few weeks ago, the only players in the game were Mattel and Figures Toy Company. And Figures Toy Company was just starting with the ROH line.
Correct.
Now you look at the game in July of 2022, and oh, how the landscape has changed. It's incredible.
Five retro companies. You've got Powertown, Jazzwares, Mattel. I mean, it's just endless.
Figures Toy Company is still there.
Figures Toy Company is still there. So you
Storm,
have
Storm, Super Storm. Seven.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm.
So now you have, what, 11 companies?
It's incredible. The amount of people that have jumped into the game. I mean, it's great to see our hobby grow like this. But at the same time, our wallets can only handle so much, and which we talked about that last week too. But I mean, at the end of the day, that's a minor gripe. It's great to see a bunch of wrestling figure companies. Now, there are going to be some that might fall by the wayside as time goes on, but it's cool to have so many people in the game right now.
Exactly. And on top of that, it's also good to see the wrestlers getting another paycheck.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Yes. Exactly.
So it's like, okay, cool. We get a figure of Adam Bomb or King Haku, you know, just stuff like that. It's cool that they're getting a paycheck for their licensing.
Yeah, totally. And Absolutely. Chad, I wanted to ask you while we had you on, I've seen you kind of post a couple things about Powertown. What's your opinion on that line?
I'm
hopeful, skeptical.
I a little of everything, because it's like,
the future is a hefty responsibility, and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
I really want them to succeed, because I think they're going to tap into a market that maybe Mattel and potentially Jazzwares. I think that they were talking about doing like their own Legends line. And I want them to succeed, but I feel like they're also I feel like they're already kind of overwhelming us and over delivering. I want to see how the second and third waves play out. The first wave could be great. I want that Kerry Von Erich. I am a huge Von Erich fan, but
yeah,
you know, you can have a one hit, but what about that follow-up out?
Right.
You know, so I'm skeptical, but I'm also like, ooh, let's do it. You know?
Yeah.
It's a little both.
I'm like guarded hopeful. About Powertown. And like you, the Kerry Von Erich, that one's definitely one that's on my list. But the inclusion of Bruiser Brody that they just announced, I mean, that one blew my mind, man. Because we haven't had Brody figures in a full scale. And so for them to be able to make one
Since the classic.
Since the Jack's classic.
Right. But I mean, the sheer number of Brody figures over the years too. I mean, the numbers just aren't there. So to have one modern day that looks as, if the rendering is even close to what the figure is, we talked about this last week, man, that's a home run. My concern is their first series out of the gate needs to be so good because they're going to have a higher price point. Mm-hmm. People are already kind of skeptical, I would say, on the line. So I think the first series out needs to be a home run, and then hopefully it can grow from there. You know what I mean? I'm very, very hopeful with this one, but guardedly so.
I'm blanking on his name, and I don't mean that in a form of disrespect. I really don't, but
Sam Rosenthal.
Yes. Thank you. Appreciate mm-hmm. that. Thank you for the, yes. I was watching his interview with Cardona and Myers, and that's another kind of thing that kind of gives me pause a little, because I feel like he was kind of trying to be a character, and he was trying to, I feel like he didn't answer a lot of the questions. And I've given credit to Cardona and Myers because I think that they were asking the right questions and they were being fair, but they were also being, they weren't being tough, but they were just straight ahead. And I mixed the fact that he said, you know, you'll get the figures by the end of the year, but we haven't seen the Kickstarter. It's like there's red flags going up, and
like you said, it's kind of an overpromise that, you know, you don't want to do that. You don't want to overpromise because then people get pissed.
Yeah.
Moving along, swappable heads that was brought up. Is there a chance of more pre and post match? And Bill said yes, or he said sure. Just look at AJ's Ultimate Edition with his hair doing the phenomenal forearm and his hair is kind of off to the side. So yeah.
Or Ultimate Warrior's unpainted face on the WrestleMania 7 Warrior.
That was also brought up too. Well, they said, will NXT 2.0 talent be available in Elite Lines or Ultimates? And Steve basically said, sure, if they fit in. WCW entrance stage that we all saw, where are we at with it? And Steve said, we like to tease with figures. It's a nice way to gauge interest. We have a little bit more at our disposal nowadays. Be patient. He goes, we like to do those teases with stages like we saw at New Orleans a couple years ago.
Yep.
And so he goes, so they like to gauge interest on if there is any interest regarding the stages. So,
well, there's been interest in their the backstage area, like the locker room.
Yes.
They do that diorama every year, and there's been a ton of interest in that. So maybe one of these days we'll see.
Yep. Elite three packs. Steve said collecting is an all-time high. So with collecting being at an all-time high, this opens so many doors. So being able to have like Amazon or a Ringside or something like that, they can now start to kind of test the waters with three packs. So like the Heyman, Reigns, and Lesnar, and another one, the Taker, Razor, 1-2-3 Kid. So they're starting to dip their toe into three packs as well. So
I want that Raw set so badly. I don't care if they're re-released. Oh gosh, they look so cool.
Don't they?
They do.
Mm-hmm. And we're overdue for a kid anyway.
Totally. Exactly. Yeah. It's been years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Actually, I'm looking at it right now. It was Elite.
It was like 2016 or 2017, right?
It was Elite 4. I'm looking at the figure right now. It was Elite 40 something. Okay, moving along. Ultimate Edition Cody Rhodes available on Mattel Creation. Will that be his debut figure? The guy asked. Steve said, not sure on timing. Could be a little iffy if that's going to be his debut figure. Then the big topic came up. Steiner Brothers. Is there any chance that we get the Steiner Brother figures? Steve said, Hall of Fame inductions get us closer, but isn't a clear path to figures, as we all know. Steve has high hopes that it will happen. Bill said that when the Steiners do come available, they will start that day one working on them.
When they're available.
When they're...
When. I like that. So I was actually... Because I was predicting that we were going to talk about that.
Uh-huh.
I just want to point out, with everything we got, I was not disappointed one bit that we didn't get a Steiners announcement. We got overwhelmed with stuff, like I said, but I was like thinking, what would the outfits be? And I was like thinking, you got to do Rick in like that number outfit that he was. And then in my opinion, you would have to do like Scott in his like the Hasbro kind of look, because I would want one where they look where they wore in WWF and WCW. But the Chase variants would be their like red, white, and blue American flag that they wore in like Survivor Series. And
yes. Okay. Yes.
That would be my choice.
Speaking our language right there, man.
I like it.
Although, if they did tap into the Ultimate Edition Steiner Brothers, you can't do, obviously you can't do the Michigan jackets, but you can make Letterman jackets.
Mm-hmm. You could put a WWE logo where the M was and it would pass.
Yeah.
And a navy yellow.
You know what?
As long as they don't touch any copyright, give them basically just give them Letterman jackets. And hopefully they are somewhat similar to the Michigan colors, if they can do it. That's just a...
No, it was like a blue and white jacket for the classic, right? They kind of modified the... Okay.
Yeah, actually, it's right over my shoulder. So yeah, I had to turn around.
I actually think it would be cool if, because they haven't done one yet. We've gotten love letters to LJN. We've gotten love letters to Hasbro. They've never done one for Galoob. What if they put him in their Galoob outfit? And I know you don't like Galoobs, Chad.
That's okay. That's okay.
Just the outfits, if they did like,
yes,
if they couldn't do an American flag one, if they could do them in their Galoob gear, I think that'd be neat.
Moving along, are there other specific era lines? Steve said that there is an end date for the Ruthless Aggression figures. There will be another themed set after that. Themed set. Era themed set.
Interesting.
All right. Just let the guessing begin.
Yeah.
And last, they asked, is it easier to get new names? Can we expect new names? Steve says, we have more legends that the collectors are unaware of. Some paths have been cleared as far as relationships and stuff like that. More signings have taken place and more are in the works.
Awesome.
So let the guessing game begin, and hopefully that concussion lawsuit is under the table. We get Demolition. We get Akeem. We
Barbarian. Get
Barbarian.
Yes.
Did we just become best friends?
Yes. Because why, Jeff? We need Barbarian with Warlord.
Exactly.
You're LJNing us here. It's unacceptable.
And that one might be a little tough. The Dynamite Kid with Davey Boy Smith, but... Let's just enjoy the Barbarian and Akeem. Yes. How about that?
Well, because Chella's doing the Dynamite in the elite scale, right? So that could get tricky.
Yeah, I'm sure Mattel can play a few cards or something.
Oh, I'm sure that they could. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sure that they could.
Sure that they would. They will. Yeah. I'm sure that they have something up their sleeve. They're just like, we're going to do this instead.
So we'll see. We'll see. All right. That is all for 2022 San Diego Comic-Con. Great showing. And now we must move on to let our wallets recover. But we are going to get into the nostalgia segment. Let's see what Chad chose this week after this. Before we get into the nostalgia segment, we want everybody to head on over to WrestlingFigureDatabase.com. And then over there, once you go to, and I'm going to give it away right here, the WWF section, head on over to the Hasbro section. And then we want you to find the yellow card section. And that's what we're going to be covering today. So again, WrestlingFigureDatabase.com. And Chad, what made you choose this for the nostalgia segment this week?
This has always been my favorite Hasbro wave. And I know that people are going to be like, oh, it's just because of nails. It's not.
That helps, though.
it does help. But if you look at it, it's one of the weirder sets because there's no Warrior. There's no Randy. There's no Hogan. There's no Flair. It's all kind of newer stars, with the exception of maybe, you know, if you consider Shawn, Crush, Kamala, whatever. These are all new figures, all new, well, with the exception of like Sean's body, I guess, new sculpts, just new. And I love that yellow card color too. I just think it pops. Thank you. Exactly. I think it's such a weird, awesome. Every figure looks great. I think each and every one of them, like, if you were to ask me, like, who's your favorite out of that line, I really couldn't pick one. I couldn't pick just one. Like, I legit love each and every one of those figures just because of how they look, everything about them. I think it's a very underrated wave, honestly.
I love the mix because you get a tag team member in here, but then you have, I mean, this is basically all mid card, but you've got the top of the mid card all the way to the bottom of the mid card.
Yes. And I that was another point. Like I was saying, like, no Hogan, Flair, Randy, Warrior, whatever. Like, there are no world as of this, as of when the wave came out, there are no world champions.
Right.
There are no real main eventers. Like, Shawn and Razor were not main eventers.
Yeah. We were 3 years away from Shawn getting the belt. So yeah, you're right. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a great series. It really is. And like you said, all of the figures look amazing.
Oh my gosh. Absolutely. Absolutely.
The deco on them as well. Like, if you look at Owen's gear, or if you look at, if you look at Nails, just very appealing looking figures, you know, especially for that time as well. So,
yeah, not a lot of accessories in this series either, but that Razor Ramon.
Yeah. Oh gosh.
That is a great figure.
Okay. We should probably run down the list as you guys have heard. Scott, why don't you go down that list?
Yes, sir. Hasbro's Yellow Card series consisted of Owen Hart. He was in his high energy gear, and his action was the Rocket Blast, the previously mentioned Razor Ramon, gold chain accessory, and his action was the Razor Rage. Crush, and he was in his face gear, think WrestleMania 9. His action was the Kona Crusher. Shawn Michaels, the great HBK, in his white and red tights with the Conceited Crunch. Nails, in his orange gear, prison garb, with the Jailhouse Jab. And Kamala, and this is where we got our variant in the Hasbro series. Kamala had the Moon Belly variant. Main release was the Star Belly. And he had the Kamala Crush action. And Jeff, that rounds out Hasbro's Yellow Card.
So, Chad, I'm going to ask you, what is your favorite figure out of all of these? And why is it Nails?
Oh, spam. Gosh, I can't pick one. I wish I could. And you know what's funny is I hate the jumper mechanism.
Yes.
Feature. I hate it. But just if you look at that Kamala figure, oh my gosh, it just stands out.
It works.
It's fantastic. And especially because Kamala, like, that was like his finisher at the time.
He did the splash. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So while I'm not the biggest jumper fan, I do think that kind of works in his favor. I'm probably going to be biased and just say HBK because I love that red white. Because now I'm trying to, well, maybe it's Owen or maybe it's, oh my gosh. Yeah. Let's just go with Shawn. Let's just go with Shawn.
And we should also point out that the Shawn prototype was the punching arm.
The straight arm punch,
That Jake the Snake Roberts had. So that was the original.
And wasn't, I know that it was pictured in like Toy Fair catalogs or like whatever, but wasn't it also on the back of the card too in illustrated form where he was like doing the punching?
We need to be
fact
checked on that.
Yeah, good question. I do remember seeing the prototype in the magazine, but I don't recall the back of the card if that showed the straight arm punch HBK. That's a great question.
I want to say it. I until it gets myth busted, I want to say it did because when I got the Shawn Michaels figure at KB, I was like, why doesn't it look like it on the back of the package? I could be wrong. Maybe it's a weird memory, but no, yeah, I'm not the biggest fan of that figure mold, but it works. It works.
Yeah. Yeah. I think they made the right choice in the HBK that they went with that mechanism on him.
Scott, your favorite one?
My favorite is the Razor Ramon. It always blows me away how great Hasbro was at sculpting their faces. And this Razor, I think, is a shining example of that. Like, this looks like Scott Hall. It is dead on Scott Hall. I love the gold chain accessory, the vest, the tights had all the logos on. I absolutely adore this figure. It is so good.
I'm going to say just for Steve Hoker, because I believe this is his favorite figure of all time. I'm going to just say Shawn Michaels. That's for Steve Hoker.
I traded him a mint on card yellow Shawn Michaels for a couple things last year. And because I knew that it was going to a good home. So
yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
There's a lot to be said for that. because you obviously put a lot of time and love into that figure. You don't want to see somebody just get it and, you know, just toss it somewhere. Like, you know, it's going to a good home. There's a lot to be said for that.
And you know what? I think I got it from Rad Chad. So I think that like we're passing it along in the family.
Yeah. Well loved. Well loved. Yes. Going to good homes. I love that.
Absolutely.
Somebody's going to have to break the chain and get it signed.
How dare you?
Okay. In the nostalgia segment, we like to do last mint on card sold auctions on eBay. So let's go with the Owen Hart first. Last sold eBay listing was July 21st for $95 on one bid. Razor Ramon, last sold eBay listing was July 15th for $125 on a buy it now. Crush, last sold eBay listing July 17th for $152 on eight bids. Shawn Michaels, last sold listing was July 14th for $189 on 20 bids. Nails, last sold eBay listing July 5th for $123.50 on 8 bids. And Kamala, the last sold eBay listing was July 28th for $107.50.
Are those prices coming down, Jeff, or is that kind of what they've been going for?
No, they're starting to come down. During the pandemic, Owen was going for about 160, if I'm not. Yeah, about 160. Razor was about that same area. I don't know about you, Chad, but would you be able to speak on the Nails? Do you know how much that was going for during
COVID? I really don't remember, because I was offering that Shawn Michaels. I was willing to trade that for Nails. So I don't remember. I feel like it may have been lower. Okay. Maybe. Before we continue, I just had a thought in my head, because I'm thinking of all the sculpts, and you guys were just talking about Razor. If you look, and I didn't notice this before, if you look, their faces are the same exact. They're based on the actual card art, because Razor kind of does that sneer. Shawn has the same, like, his glasses. Owen's doing the same face in the photo. Yep. Kamala, great call. Crush, Nails. I didn't even think about that until now.
Good point.
That's a great call.
Yeah, because some of those, their faces wouldn't match the card, but I didn't even really think about that till now. Maybe it's because I'm lack of sleep, but I don't
know. It's a great point, though.
Yeah.
Ric Flair's face didn't match the card, I'll tell you that much.
Wasn't that based off the Royal Rumble game?
Yep, based off the Royal Rumble game. They went with that photo? Seriously? Like, that photo?
Oh, my goodness.
I hate that figure, by the way. They should have done the Shawn Michaels, Randy Savage, Marty Jannetty instead. But
yeah, yes. I agree with you. Yeah, it's not a great fit. One of Hasbro's not shining moments.
You know what's funny is we were talking about Hasbro's a couple of weeks ago or last week, and we were talking about the Shawn and Marty being some of the worst ones out of the whole Hasbro line. You got to throw Ric Flair into that as well.
Mm-hmm. You're talking about the Rockers, Shawn and Marty, Jeff?
Yes, yes. Oh. Yeah, Shawn and Marty from the Rockers 2-pack.
I heard that, and I had to respectfully disagree because of...
Please.
And this was just my perception, but because of their high flying and all that stuff, that made sense. And but I get it, because
well, the whole comment was basically just about their faces.
Yeah, it was more about the sculpts on the
Their faces.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
Okay. Yes. Yes.
Yeah,
okay, yeah.
It's regarding.
I'm not arguing that.
Yeah, it's just regarding their faces. That to me. The Hasbro's had a cartoonish look to them and stuff like that, but they did a great job sculpting the faces. They missed on quite a few, a la Ric Flair, Shawn and Marty.
Although they got better on the HBK as a singles performer. His sculpt was fantastic.
Oh, yes. I think
the Marty was a miss. You're right, Jeff.
I think they missed on 1-2-3 Kid.
Oh gosh, terrible.
I know. Just
atrocious. Yeah.
He looked like BoJack Horseman.
Mr. Peanut Butter Mail Away.
Why the long face, 1-2-3 Kid?
You know what's funny is 1-2-3 Kid is the only figure that sculpt makes sense for.
Yeah.
Like Rick Rude, yeah. I never understood why they had to go with Rick Rude for that and why they did Flair. 1-2-3 Kid's the only one that would have. I mean, they could probably do it with Rey Mysterio for the retro line, but.
Yeah, that's true.
So. regarding Rick Rude, I think that they went with that sculpt just to do the Rude Awakening. So the arm okay. is yeah. up like this, so you could get your opponent tucked back here. You know, you're limited on your mobility, you know, and yeah. articulation and stuff. I think that's why they put him in that pose. Just a personal opinion.
You know what's funny is I was just about to bring up that I've seen a lot of, not a lot, but I remember back late 90s, early 2000s, someone took a Shawn Michaels rocker figure and made a DDP because he kind of had the, he was doing the,
okay.
And but now you got me thinking, you probably could have done the other hand with that and had him do a diamond cutter.
Look at us customizing. Where's Jason Wolf?
At least the Rick Rude Hasbro was way better than the Rick Rude LJN.
20 times, 1,000 times better.
That thing was trash.
Why, though? I saw that sticker from the meetup, by the way.
Oh, that's so funny.
Yes. Great James Frank, yes.
Yes.
Oh, amazing.
All right. Chad chose in the next segment, he chose who did it better. But who did Chad choose? And we'll get into that after this. All right. In the segment, we are going to play Who Did It Better. What Who Did It Better is our special guest, Chad Horror Movie Barbecue. He chose one person and we are going to line up all of their figures and we are going to decide which toy maker did it better. And Chad, who did you choose for this week?
I chose the greatest manager of all time, Bobby the Brain Heenan.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Stacy Keibler. I got that wrong in my notes.
I'm sorry. My bad.
Oh, crap.
I did a little swerve here.
Now I got to go under Wrestling Figure Database and get all the Bobby names.
I thought he was going to pick Nitro Girl Spice for Steve.
Oh, you mean that unreleased doll that they didn't make like back in 99?
Yes. Yes.
So, Chad, what made
you... We were so close.
So, Chad, what made you choose Bobby Heenan?
I guess everybody would have expected me to pick Sid. And I know that we were even joking about that, but a couple weeks ago, you guys had asked on air and started running down Sid figures. And you even asked, you know, me to tweet out what my favorite Sid figure was. So I was like, we've already done that. And then I was like, well, maybe One Man Gang or Akeem. And then I was like, no, that's not going to do it. But Bobby Heenan just kind of made sense. I was originally going to say Liz, and then I remembered she didn't get that many either. Mm-hmm. So I was just like, Bobby, because Scott, you and I were talking about my Bobby Heenan, or was it me and you and Jeff, or it was one of us, and we were talking
about
how
it was
how
the
I
three.
A,
yeah.
Yes. And I have a signed classic Bobby, and it's one of my favorites. So that kind of got that kind of got the gears going. I was like, Bobby's had a lot of cool figures, and I don't think people talk about them as much.
Yeah, he totally has. And I'll actually go a step further, Chad, and I will say that Bobby Heenan is not only the greatest manager of all time, in my opinion, he's the greatest performer of all time. In the history of wrestling, he could do it all. He could get into the ring, he could take bumps, and he could talk as a manager, he could talk as a commentator during a match, he could host primetime wrestling and spitball with Gorilla. He had everything that you could want from a performer, and in my mind, he's the greatest of all time.
I agree.
So I love this choice. I absolutely love this choice this week. So thank you for bringing Bobby to the table. I'll talk Bobby Heenan any day of the week.
Let's talk the Rosati sisters. The lovely, lovely Rosati sisters, by the
way. Yes. Let's not disparage their name. We'll leave that to Bobby. Yes.
You know what's great about Bobby is him and Gorilla were able to improv off each other. And just so quick-witted. Like, Bobby was already quick-witted, but when him and Gorilla got together, there was magic.
Yeah.
He was still quick with it. You know, like, I always think he could have been a stand-up comedian, but when he was with Gorilla, you're right, Jeff, it went next level.
It was a ping-pong back and forth that just, it was comedic gold, and that's what I loved about those two.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I'll never forget when Gorilla passed away, that moment on Nitro where Bobby gave him his tribute. Like, I watch that to this day, and oh my gosh, man, it gets me every time.
Yep. So, Scott, would you like to run down all of Bobby's figures?
Yeah, we'll start with LJN. You had his regular release, and we all know and love it. Blue top, black pants. He also had a bendy that matched. Jack's Classic Superstars. Series 6, he was in his black suit. He was also in a 3-pack with Mr. Perfect and Ric Flair. We had his 1 of 100 weasel suit, Heenan, which, Jeff, you own that figure.
I do.
Super jealous of that. We had his 2-pack with Abe Knuckleball Schwartz. And he was in a 3-pack with the Brainbusters. We had the Mattel Fan Central in his black jacket, removable. Legends weasel suit, if you can't afford the 1 of 100. And he was in a 4-pack with Andre, Stud, and Perfect.
Andre, Stud.
Who am I missing?
Andre, Stud, Perfect.
Yeah.
Then Heenan. That was the 4-pack.
Yeah.
Oh, it was 4. For some reason, I kept thinking 5 in my head.
No, it was part of that Target run of the 4 figures.
That's right.
They did that like after the Horsemen, I think, because those hit clearance pretty quickly as well.
That's what I picked them. It was $15 at Target.
Yes, I remember that.
Crazy. Now you can't touch it for like less than $100.
Well, the Horseman 4-pack went on clearance, but the Heenan 4-pack was difficult to find because it wasn't hitting every Target. Like the Horseman pack, you could find it every single Target. At least out here. Mm-hmm. I don't know how it was up in the upper Northeast. But out here, Horseman was just everywhere. But when it came to the Heenan 4-pack, it was sporadic. It was like you would find it using out here as an example. You found it in Concord, but then you wouldn't find it again until San Francisco or Daly City or just out. It was like so random where they would pop up.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. I lucked out here. I managed to find mine when they went on clearance. Okay. And they had a couple of Horsemen and a couple of the Heenan family. And I picked up one of each. And now I wish I had just cleaned them out.
Yes, Captain Hindsight.
Yeah, thank you.
So, Chad, I'm going to ask you, which one is your favorite Bobby Heenan figure?
I've been going back and forth since we discussed this because there's a couple options. A, I think that weasel figure, and when I refer to the weasel, I'm referring to the Legends. I think it was a good figure. I just think that they kind of banked on it a little too much. I thought it was a good figure. I think that the Classic Superstar just hit the jacket. I think the head sculpt is superior to the Mattel, but I think that the Hall of or the 4-pack Heenan WrestleMania 3, I think is the best just because it's just so perfect. And it looks like Bobby Heenan. The suit is perfect. And we never really got that figure anywhere else. Like we've always gotten the suit or, you know, his blue jacket, but this I think is the one and only one that we've ever gotten in that style. And I think it looks great. Again, I think the Jax head sculpt is a little bit better, but this figure just looks so perfect next to like Andre. He looks perfect next to everybody in the Heenan family, you know?
Yeah. I think that WrestleMania 3 was his biggest moment in wrestling. I mean, he had a lot, you know, WrestleMania 5, you know, he gets his gold finally with Rick Rude. That was a huge moment for him, but that night, 93,000 fans, that was Bobby's moment. Yes, it was Hogan and Andre, but Bobby was there to shine. We all remember what he was wearing. I agree with you 100%, Chad. For that reason, Mattel captured that so perfectly that is my favorite Heenan as well. I agree with you.
So Scott mentioned his. I'm also going to agree with you guys. That one is the best. Like as much as I want to say the 1 of 100 because I love it. And plus it was the original weasel suit. And I always felt that Jax got Bobby's body better than Mattel did. You know, Bobby was thick, you know, he was like a thick dude. And I felt that the Mattel figures were just a little bit too thin or slender, if you know what I mean.
Yes.
So
I agree with you on that, Jeff,
but I will say the best figure is that WrestleMania 3, just because it's different.
Nostalgia wants me to say LJN because that Bobby Heenan figure took so many beatings from the faces in our little figure fed. Like Bobby Heenan managed a ton of people and he got involved in every match and got his ass whipped for it. But I can't go against that WrestleMania 3 Heenan. That was just his shining moment in wrestling. That's how I always remember Heenan in the white suit. And that figure just captures that moment so perfectly.
And you know what, if you're going after a Heenan figure because you want to do like figure photography, you have to have a figure that's going to fit in every photo. You can use it if you're doing a primetime wrestling diorama, or you're doing a ringside, or you're doing something with him and Vince, or him and Gorilla, you know, doing a Saturday night's main event or something. It just works and it fits in so perfectly. You know, I would have loved that Bobby Heenan Gorilla 2-pack that they had kind of canceled, but I don't think that you can top this Heenan. And if they do, I think you would have to do it in ultimate form.
Yeah. Like if they do a primetime wrestling set, something like that with a Gorilla and Bobby.
All game for that.
I would love that.
Yes,
absolutely. One other thing, you mentioned figure photography, putting that WrestleMania 3 Bobby in with an Andre in that Andre cart, or that WrestleMania 3 cart. It's a perfect photo right there.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Tremendous.
Capturing our nostalgia feels right there. If you know what I mean.
I'm all about it.
I know. But that must round out the show. Chad, thank you for sitting in, man. We had a blast with you. Sorry for the snafu. That's a good word. Snafu.
I've really been looking forward to this. So yeah, Chad, thank you so much. I'm glad we finally got to connect. I didn't get to meet you in New York like Jeff did. Hopefully with WrestleMania coming to Philly for number 40, I hope we can share a cheesesteak or two or three or four. I'd love to hang out and meet you, and we'll hang out with Steve and bro hugs all around. Yes. I can't wait to meet you one of these days, but just to get to talk to you tonight, man, I've been looking forward to it, and just thank you for supporting the show. Thank you for always being there for Jeff and I. We talked about Steve Hoker earlier. We love that guy. We love you, Chad. Thank you for being on tonight, man.
Thank you.
Chad, you mentioned New York. You actually gave something for the meetup. Do you remember what it was?
I do. It was the foam replica signed belt.
Yep.
And I can't remember the guy that won it, but he was so excited because was it Butch Reed was on it?
Butch
Reed was so excited.
There was like four names or four or five names on it.
It had four autographs on it?
It did, dude.
Yes.
That's awesome. On the foam belt, the old school.
So let me rewind a little bit. I had just met Chad for the first time, I would say about 3 or 4 hours before the meetup at WrestleCon. And I was walking around with Steve Hoker, I believe. And we meet up with Chad and I'm like, oh, your horror movie barbecue, like marked. I marked out for him.
Mark.
And I was marking out for you as well.
So the best part is Chad goes, oh, I've got something for the meetup. And I'm like, oh, I was not expecting this. And he hands me a foam title. I was like, oh, this is cool. And he's all, it's got Butch Reed's autograph right here. And then I want to say, I forget who else. Was it Jimmy Snuka's? Was that? Jimmy's was on there. And I'm blanking on the two other. Was
Blue Meanie and Bill Apter. I know Bill Apter was on there. And I really don't remember who else was on there.
Was it Sheiky Baby?
No, I don't think so. I think that Jimmy Snuka's signature is kind of similar to Iron Sheik's, though.
Okay, okay, that's probably where I'm. But literally four hours before the meetup, and Chad's handing me this foam belt for a giveaway.
That's so great, dude.
Dude, legitimately, I just met Chad. It was so great, dude. It was awesome.
I was happy too, and that was a big moment. You know, that was a big afternoon for all of us, and I wanted to, you know, show my appreciation for everything you guys have done. So,
thanks, man. It was
my pleasure. Thank you.
It was awesome, man. And then that meetup was awesome. And then some random Scottish marching band comes walking in, and they're all,
"Oh my gosh!"
It was like, "What the hell is going on?"
There's that great photo of all of us and like Steve Fontes and I are in the back doing RVD poses. I cherish that photo and those moments probably more than I do WrestleMania itself, probably more than I did Raw. I just, that whole day, that was my favorite part. And if I could go back and just do that day, I would in an instant.
Yeah.
Philly's right around the corner, man. Philly's right. I can't wait to have an East Coast meetup with you guys.
I can't either. That's going to be great.
I'm looking forward to it.
Yep. All right. Let's get into our good buddies. Let's get over to WrestlingToyTracker.com. If you are on the hunt for any of the carded or loose prices of LJNs, Gloobs, Hasbros, Just Toys, Bendems, Defining Moments, or retros, head on over to WrestlingToyTracker.com to make sure you're getting a fair Price over there. All right, let's move on to our podcasting buddies as well. Let's go over to Breaker and Bane's Power Hour, a great show over there where they talk wrestling, they talk movies, they talk it all over at Breaker and Bane's Power Hour, as well as Breakers. You know it's fake, right? Also, we got the Positively Pro Wrestling podcast, speaking of Steve Fontas, the great legendary Steve Fontas as well. Check out his show over at the Positively Pro Wrestling podcast, where last week they discussed Legends House.
Oh, I forgot about that show.
We were looking for Legends House.
Wow.
Oh, man.
Nice.
That's an elite set they could do.
Oh, dude. Yes. Tony yes. Atlas. Hell yeah. Also, let's run it over to our friends over at the Chick Foley Show with Seth, Sheena, and Marco. Of course, we got Wrestling Cheers. We got RJ over at Ringside Rant. We have Marty and Rucker doing Boot to the Face. We've got Tim pulling up a chair with the Fig Life community, as well as Soda Hunter and Ethan over at the In the Marbles pod. And Scott, what you got for Drunk Wrestling History this week?
Yeah, give us a follow on Twitter at, oh, God, what is our handle?
At @wrestling_drunk.
Thank you. You think I'm drunk right now? Give us a follow on Twitter at @wrestling_drunk. This past week, we dropped an episode about what if WCW beat the WWF at Survivor Series 2001? How would the landscape have changed? What would have been different at WrestleMania X8? Tune in wherever you get your podcasts from. Give it a listen. Again, on Twitter at @wrestling_drunk, where we're not always accurate, but we're always drunk.
It's funny, dude. I was trying to get Steve Fontas to do the read for Drunk Wrestling History. And he goes, wait, why are you trying to pass it off on me? I was like, because I don't know it. He goes, you listen to it every week. I was like, I know.
I do it every week, and I could barely remember our Twitter handle.
That is @wrestling_drunk.
It's been a while.
It's that COVID fog, dude. It's still
the COVID fog. Thank you. That's my out. Yes.
Also, check out our buddies and everybody's buddies, Marty and Sarah, Love Wrestling. Scott, roll call.
Going to throw it out to the great, the amazing, super talented Jason Wolf. If you need artwork, he is your guy. Give him a follow on his social media accounts at The Art of Jason Wolf. Get in touch with him, commission some artwork. Check out his custom chop shop. The dude does amazing custom Hasbros. Again, Jason Wolf at The Art of Jason Wolf. And Jeff, of course, OutsidersBeardCo.com.
This was the other read. This was the other read I tried having Steve do.
Wasn't happening, huh?
Neither one of us were doing it well.
Well, get your oils, get your waxes. You want your beard looking and smelling pretty, because, Jeff, you don't want your beard hairs.
Smelling like your butt hairs.
OutsidersBeardCo.com. And Jeff, that rounds out roll call.
Chad's shaking his head over there. I don't want my beard hairs smelling like my butt hairs.
Maybe. I don't know.
Depends on what you're into. We don't judge.
No king shaming.
Chad, again, thank you for coming on the Summer of Sand, dude. Love, man. We appreciate you, man, and we love having you on. Feel free to come on anytime you want. Just hit us up.
My pleasure. Thank you, guys. I love you guys. I love everyone listening. Thank you.
Love you, man.
Our pleasure. Thank you, Chad.
Scott, for episode 340, anything else?
Stay safe, stay healthy. Big Lessons 2016, and happy toy hunting.
I want to thank everybody for listening to episode 340, hashtag Fig Life. Adios.
Yeah. Fully possible. Let's go. Jeff and Scott, the Toon Brothers, busting out the ring. But we don't take it out the box, M.O.C. Happy toy hunting, we'll see you next week. We're the OGs of WFP. Fully Posable, thank you all for listening. It ain't no storyline, real life siblings. So everybody go and do your toy spotting. Hashtag Fig Life, adios from the Kings.